This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Let the music move me around when I go around in circles. When I fly high like a bird up in the sky. When I go around in circles.
Hollywood Casino Press Box. Martin and Frank live today. Maggie O'Brien's downtown St. Louis station is going to be live here through 3 o'clock. The Hardline, which has any number of guests on it. You have to tune. That's the beauty of the Hardline. You tune in at 1 o'clock to find out who's on the show. That's what I do every day. Cam will be here. Maggie O'Brien, it's a Blues game night. You got the Oilers in town. Coach Hitch, Strick will be with us in the noon hour. Our Wednesday visit with Strick. A lot of hockey on the menu with Ken Hitchcock back in town. I saw Gordo say it's 80 pounds. That Hitch lost. Charlie Marlowe, early arrival here, a little pregame with Chuck. Frank's doing some television work with our buddy Howard Richards.
And I've lost 2 pounds.
Good for you.
In the last year or so.
Good you for look, Hitch, I think though. You cleaned the beard up and it looks better. That's my theory.
Thank you. I'm going with the 5 o'clock shadow type look. But Hitch has inspired me. I worked out the last 2 days.
If
Let's
he can
shape.
Do it, we can do it.
Let's get in shape. Come on. It's the holiday season. A lot of eating and drinking. It's all good. Let's get to the gym as well.
We realize the holiday season started on December the 1st. We've got the Blues Oilers tonight right around the corner from here at Maggie O'Brien's. And then we have Billikens tonight playing down at Carbondale, Salukis. We've got Illinois basketball, Mizzou hoops, a winner last night. Local kid, Torrance Watson, starting to get going a little bit. Chuck's going to queue up some hot takes and maybe have a little salad. I recommend the Mayfair salad with grilled chicken.
I'm going to take a break here. Hand it over
are
to
you
Martin.
Exhausted?
I was already on for about a minute and a half, so Frank, Howard Richards, yourself, you can take over. I'll be back.
Chuck, why don't you call accounting and put on your timesheet?
Correct.
You
I'm going to eat.
Just did 3 minutes
I'm gonna eat.
Of radio.
Okay. Good talk. See you.
Fair enough. Frank joins the conversation. So does the former first-round pick of the Dallas Cowboys. Howard Richards is alongside.
The only person I know with a more impressive resume would be George Walker Bush. I mean, we're talking All-American, first-round draft choice, 13 years in the CIA, and now assistant athletic director at Missouri. I think George Walker's got you beat a little bit, head of the CIA and vice president and president, but it's close.
Well, and I'm still alive, too. So
there's one helpful. Big category, yes. I was tidying up for our guest, Frank. I'm sorry.
I still have a chance. I'm not done yet. So, can we do this from in the bar? You know,
we're steps away from the bar. We're steps away from the dessert tray.
Oh boy,
Chuck Marlowe is eyeing that up. Howard, how about the last month for Mizzou football? Just the fortunes of the program, the future of the program. From 4-4, and people kind of going, "Oh, here we go again." And is Barry the right guy? And I don't know. I thought maybe we'd go bowling. And then now you win those four, including the ranked opponent at Florida, and then you get this Kelly Bryant, and people are now buzzing already about next year. It's changed dramatically, hasn't it? Maybe on the inside you didn't feel that way, but it's in terms of perception.
I think even on the inside there was that a lot of those same thoughts. You know, when Missouri, even before that tough stretch where they played South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, not necessarily in that order, you felt that if they could win one of those three, would be sort of a win. If they could win two of those three, it would be a bonus. And obviously, if you win them all, then you know people are going to start talking about you. It didn't work out that way. But the impressive thing about this team is that they didn't cave. I think it helped this year's team with the players that were on the roster last year. That went through that, you know, they went through a lull in the first half of the season. And, you know, they kind of woke up and started playing well, won 6 in a row, qualified bowl for a bowl game. I think, although similar, they were very different this year and last year. But they rallied. I mean, obviously the Kentucky game was devastating. But the way that they rebounded and went down and just kicked Florida in the teeth, I mean, was amazing. I think from that point, they realized, listen, this is the type of football not only are we capable of playing, but that we should be playing. And I think that was a carryover for the rest of the season. I mean, they're a really talented team, and I don't think that a lot of people really give them enough credit.
How about the impact of just this move? Let's face it, he's the most talked about quarterback in the country, in a sense, or at least transfer, not named Jalen Hurts, I should say. But what this does recruiting-wise, and Odom's going to capitalize. You know, he already got the wide receiver from Arkansas. He's in four different states today. This is a big national signing that Mizzou's all over the headlines.
Well, from all the negative talk about Barry Odom in the past, so he goes in. Not only does he sign Kelly Bryant, gets him to commit to Missouri, he beats Gus Malzahn at Auburn. He beats Mack Brown now at North Carolina. And a number of other, I think, high-profile programs.
Well, the Arkansas coach was somebody
Chad
he knew
Morris,
real well.
Who
right.
recruited
right.
him to Clemson, was his coach. But I think if he, the big picture for Bryant, he looked at what Dooley was able to do for Drew Locke. And I think, to me, that was the biggest factor in all of this, that if he could elevate Drew Locke's game, why can't Kelly Bryant do the same thing? And I think people said, well, after the Kentucky game, there's no way he's going to come to Missouri. But if you're Kelly Bryant,
I might have said that on the radio.
I probably did say that. Probably said that. But here's the thing.
Kind of a negative Nelly, wet blanket guy.
I wasn't going to say that. But
it's the Marquette thing. I can't help it.
He probably said, you know what? That's a play I would have made. I could have made that. I would have run for that first round. But I think they all learned from it. You saw the next week, Drew Locke has an opportunity on third downs. He runs for two of them, dives for one for a first down. So he learned that lesson very quickly. And the thing about Odom that he has preached probably more this year than any other year is that, listen, you may be down on one play. You may lose on this play. But you've got that next play. You've got to put it behind you, put it in the pass, and move on to the next play. That may be the one that wins the game for you. So I think that his whole team has adopted that attitude. And the defense started very slowly, as you know, but that defense really came on strong in the second half of the season too. So I think Bryant, with the news surrounding Missouri, with what Barry Odom has been able to do, I think it will give prospective players, recruits, it'll make them look at Missouri in a different way.
Yep.
And maybe if whether they commit or not, they'll certainly visit.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the front page of ESPN.com. And rarely, you know, this is not like some blogger's rankings of the grad transfers. This is something that made, as Frank was pointing out, national news. We touched on it earlier. What about the offense, though? He is not a true pocket guy. I mean, how much do you think Derek Dooley and Barry Odom have to say, all right, let's tailor this to him or tweak what we do? Or is it more than a tweak?
Well, from what I've heard about him, I don't know him. I don't know Bryant. But he seems to be a tremendously hard worker. He's the type of guy that wants to improve his game. So naturally, I'm not saying you're going to turn this guy into a great pocket passer, but I'm sure there will be opportunities. I mean, he can't be a poor passer, if you will. I mean, at 16-2, he's done a lot of good things. But I'm sure that they will look at his strengths and adapt the offense to what he can do best and, you know, bring the rest of it around with him.
You know, you could answer this question better than anybody because it's really easy for Odom's critics to think, well, I bet he's a lousy recruiter. Maybe he doesn't look exactly like, you know, out of central casting on the sidelines for a big-time coach. But you're around him, and I've been around him a little bit too, and the affection that players have for him. Like Locke said on camera last Friday, he goes, I know how much he wants it, and I want it for him. I want to play hard for him. And I think he's translating that to recruiting right now, and that's how he's getting kids.
If you want to know the how much players really respect him, go back to the day that he was named Missouri's football coach.
Yeah.
Remember that video?
People have made
have you
fun
ever
of
seen,
that.
Have you
I
ever
love that.
Seen, have you ever
you
seen
that?
Players react that way to I've never seen it. I've never seen that before. I think that was where it was.
Finally, the Mac Rhodes finally the Mac Rhodes era has a moment we can point to that stands out. Yeah.
Maybe you look at it as a crapshoot in some ways, but you know I think it has turned out ultimately to be a really good move. Increases win total every year, has a chance to win 9 this year. Probably could have won 10 easily this year, you know, with a few plays here and there. But even the games you lost, for the most part, you were competitive in those games, at least for a while. You were never really embarrassed at all this season. You may have embarrassed a few other teams. But, you know, I think this team, this program, is right at the point, again, on the verge of becoming good again.
And so next year, schedule sets up. You got the one thing we all pointed to is you need a quarterback. So next year they should be able to raise the bar again. Do you agree with the theory that if you lose your bowl game, it's sort of not takes away from the whole year, but it just sends you into that offseason with kind of this lull. Gabe Dearmond was on earlier in the morning show and said the way they lost that Texas Bowl, I think it kind of took away that six-game winning. You kind of went into the offseason going, and there was no buzz, even with a Drew Lock and Beckner coming back. I think there might be something to it. So all the more reason, take care of business in Memphis.
Yeah, and listen, you saw how it all shook out last year before the Texas Bowl with Josh Heupel leaving. Glenn Ellerbe leaving. I think there was a little bit of
turmoil
to say the least, a little bitterness there. And, you know, having Joe John Finley call the plays, who's now going to be leaving the program, going to Texas A&M to coach tight ends there. This, I think, really the players, I think, are more prepared for something like this. And I think they'll go into this game, you know, using last year's experience to their benefit. And, they'll be ready to play on December 31st.
Gut feel, Albert O, do you think he plays in the game, and do you think he comes back?
I don't know if he plays. I have a feeling. I mean, if he's not 100% healed, I haven't seen him lately, I don't think he'll play.
Coming back?
If I had to bet, which I don't, but if I did, I would bet he returns. He would be smart to return.
So what was the Liberty Bowl experience? You played there. As a kid, I joke, they always go to the Liberty Bowl. You went 2 out of 3 years. What was the level of – I think back then it had a little bit of prestige.
When you say back then, it was 1965, 66?
It was what, 79, 80-ish?
78 was the first one, and 1980, my senior year.
So the 78 season, the 80 season, you
Correct.
Went to the Liberty Bowl.
Yes. But, you know, there were – far fewer bowls.
That's what I mean. I think it was still considered kind of a neat deal to
National
play.
TV, ABC. I think Chris Schenkel was
really
was
wow.
a play ball. Yeah, I mean
cool.
those are that's cred right there. And to you know Charles Alexander was a Heisman candidate that year. He didn't win it, but I mean he was a legitimate back.
LSU.
Do you remember who their Do you remember who their head coach was? I mean, excuse me, who their quarterback was?
Oh,
Casanova?
This.
No,
nope.
He was a safety.
LSU. 78, let's see, okay.
I'll give you a hint.
We're going to be mad.
You guess, you guess, you guess. Nope.
No.
Burt Jones.
No,
oh,
I'm thinking Louisiana quarterbacks.
He is the current offensive coordinator at LSU. He quarterbacked against us in 78.
I don't remember. I don't.
Steve Enspeaker.
I don't think I would have come up with that.
No, you couldn't give me a few
you
guesses.
You mean I stumped you guys?
You did, yes.
Wow.
You got that one. You owned that one. So. But Memphis nearby, for fans who are kind of rolling their eyes, I think proximity trumps a lot of it, doesn't it? I mean, Memphis on a New Year's Eve is not a bad place to be.
Memphis is a great city. You know, I think those that are really complaining and being negative about it probably have never been there. Beale Street, I mean, it's everything. Listen, I remember after that.
And the games are 2:45. It's perfect.
It's an early game.
You've done
yeah.
it 7?
Exactly.
Immediately goes back to your drinking.
Yeah. I mean, for the audience, of course.
Yes.
You know.
No, I think it'll be a great atmosphere.
Don't you think, too, is with the way they've played? Heck, they even practiced last Friday. I have such a good vibe. I'm going to put the Cusumano guarantee on that game. Don't you have a good feel about Mizzou just in this feel-good season, all this momentum finishing strong?
No, I do. I momentum, again, you know, when your defense is playing well and the offense obviously is you know, very productive, putting up points and just almost being able to run the ball at will against good defenses. No, you do have a good feeling. And obviously, if Missouri plays the way it has played the last four games, this is a game that they will win. I'm confident of that.
And for
Should
those,
win anyway.
For those who don't go to the game, and we've tried to break it down, maybe there's still some of that 2015 hangover. Maybe some people like to go deer hunting. But, well, you're at those games, and what do you see? What do you hear from people, too, why they can't get more? Or is it just a changing sports fan out there?
There's probably a little bit of the shift. Listen, college stadiums are getting smaller. People can watch high definition on their cell phones, on their tablets. You know, at Black Friday, they're selling 55-inch TVs for $200. So, I mean, I think people, ticket prices are more expensive. I think the convenience factor, people can save more money, enjoy that atmosphere of watching a great game on a you know great medium by staying home. That said, you go to Alabama, you go to Florida, you go to Tennessee, you go to Texas A&M, you go to Ann Arbor, you go to Columbus, they're still filling those stadiums. And I think if people understood, A, if the Missouri fans could go on the road and see some of those away venues – I think it would change their perception and probably in, you know, influence them to go to more home games. You know, when I played in the late 70s, we never had empty stadiums. Even my freshman year, we finished 4-7. We still had, you know, 60, 65,000 people. I don't ever remember playing before a crowd of less than 60 in Columbia as a football player.
You were a first-team All-SEC selection, and a young man from East St. Louis also is from the offensive line, Trevor Wallace Sims. What about – he's a monster.
He is. To me, he is Missouri's best offensive lineman. I'm really impressed. I've watched him. I watch him very closely, especially at the guard position. And I don't even recall him giving up a sack this year. Very few penalties. You know, maybe two or maybe three at most. But he's consistent. You know, he's a good drive blocker. He's a good pass protector. Good footwork. I love his attitude, his demeanor. I think he's going to be a hell of a player. He's got, what, one or two more years left? And you know, certainly a guy that should be able to play in the NFL for a long time.
Drew Lock goes anywhere from what to what in what round?
Oh, round one for sure. Could be a top five pick. But certainly I believe anywhere from 5 to 15 is likely.
Howard Richards with us, the former Dallas Cowboy. Here's an NFL question. How is it possible? This was a week or so ago. Gil Brandt just went into the Cowboys Hall of Fame or Circle. How is that? He's like 90.
Did he have bad blood with Jerry Jones?
Yeah, isn't that weird? I mean, did he get fired by Jerry? Isn't that crazy to see
Gil? They all
get
fired by
Jerry. Tex Schramm, Landry.
Yeah.
And it was Tex Schramm who invented, I think, the Ring of Honor for the Cowboys. Or something. Didn't that surprise you that Gil is just now getting in?
Did he scout you?
He drafted me. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they're mad at him over that, Frank. They haven't forgiven him.
Yeah. That, Richards, what are you thinking?
But listen, I mean, listen, Ed Jones isn't in it.
Really?
I don't think Everson Walls is in it. Harvey Martin's not in it. Wow. You know, there are a lot of marquee players for the Cowboys that still are not in
that
Ring of Honor.
Is it just hard to get in, or is it political? Is there some feelings involved? Or
your guess is as good as mine. I'm never going to be in it, but I think those guys that we just mentioned are certainly deserving of being. Eventually, they will get in there. Hopefully, they get in there before, you know, they get too old and they can appreciate it.
Do you have one good Gil Brandt story? Because he's certainly a guy that does his homework better than anybody ever did, and he knows everything.
I don't know if I have a great story, but I mean the thing about him that separates Gil, and I think is so endearing to a lot of people, is that he does his homework on players and families. I mean, he knew stuff about my parents that no one would ever know. I mean, you know, from the shoe size or where he went to, my dad went to high school, things like that, that I think makes a difference to people because it seems as though for a guy at his level to take the time to care, to, you know, provide that kind of, in some ways, useless information, I think it connects families and connects players to him, especially as a player. When you know that someone at that level in the NFL is scouting you, knows that much about you, it's like a magnet. He's going to attract all that attention and all that love to their program.
So, Howard, how many years now in the booth?
Just completed year 8.
Wow.
100 games.
Is Mike Kelly going to be okay with the fact that there'll be a more popular Kelly involved with Mizzou and that'll be Kelly Bryant? Is he going to be okay with that?
I don't know. He's probably going to change the spelling of his name or something.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Missouri broadcasters, an update on Gary Link. Do you know what he does?
I believe he's a fundraiser for one of the high schools in Columbia.
He is at Tolton High School, and he is the JV basketball coach where all the Porters go, and he's teaching a business class at Tolton High School. So Pryor went up there last night, Bob McCormick's team, and he talked about the one Porter who's 6'5". He said he's unbelievable. Then the other Porter who's a freshman is 6'8". And, you know, he's still a project, but it looks like there's some skill there. And then there's another one below him, like in seventh grade, who's like in that 6'6", 6'7", range.
Frank and I are going to be 80. And we're like, I think we got a Porter coming next year. We should be better. We got a Porter right around the corner. That is unbelievable, both about Gary Link and that the fact there are more Porters in the pipeline. What's the Memphis schedule? Well, they won't spend a whole week there. What do they go down, about 4 or 5 days early and go to Elvis's house? Or?
They have not announced travel plans. I know we went probably about at least 5 or 6 days when we played.
The Cotton Bowl was like 7 or 8 days when Mizzou played down there in
about
Texas.
A week. Yeah, it was.
A lot of good eating for the kids. That's what you always
do. Oh, and a gift. Barbecue. Do you remember the gift you got? Probably back then it wasn't any wasn't great.
Gifts.
You didn't get it?
Gifts.
I don't think the players. Oh, probably man, the boosters and coaches and media.
I still have the T-shirt that they gave us. It's the only thing I have left from 1978 Liberty Bowl. It's got more holes and Swiss cheese.
I bet that thing doesn't fit.
I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it.
Actually, what's your weight now? What did you play at? You're probably a lot less.
Yeah, I'm in the 250 range now.
And you played at?
Low 260s, 260 to 265.
I wonder how many guys can say that. Adam Timmerman's about the only guy I can think of. Less than
would that have been Phil Bradley and James Wilder, those teams?
Kellen Winslow, well,
Earl Gant.
Earl Gant,
I hate to say, but looking
Leo
back,
Lewis.
You guys probably should have won more games. I mean, that's a
Eric Wright, Johnny Poe.
Just think how many first-round draft choices. Wait, on one team, Poe, you.
Wright.
Was Wilder a second-round? I think he was second round. Winslow, that's 3 first-round picks.
Well, 2.
Wait a minute. Was Poe?
5th rounder.
Eric Wright?
Eric Wright was
Wright and Wilder were second rounders.
Okay.
You probably had 10 draft choices on that team.
And then, of course, Wendell Ray, Shane's dad. Jerome Salley ended up playing on the Super Bowl teams with the Giants.
And let's remember, Wendell Ray takes him to the block at the YMCA downtown.
You know what?
And apparently kills him.
Wendell Ray has probably never played basketball in his life. It's all talk, trust me. I'd play him one-on-one in the middle of Market Street right now and win. And I haven't shot a basketball in 14 years.
Howard's like, I come all the way down here talking to
you. And they
slammed. And end with, how much do you weigh? And Martin saying, how come you guys didn't win more games 40 years ago?
I understand Johnny Parker Sr., when Howard would get the ball on the block and Howard would go to shoot that little jump hook at Johnny Parker, get the weak stuff out of here.
Well, that was
of course, he
that
did that to everybody.
Yeah. But listen, we Southwest High School, we beat Central in their gym. No one ever believes it, but we went there and beat them in their own gym. Arthur McFadden, Johnny Parker, Bert Hamilton,
Claybon, I was teammates with, and Jim Gant, when Grauer got the job at St. Louis University, because Central was the only team that ever beat us, he would always say, he goes, why did they give Grauer the job? Hell, I'm 3-1 against the man.
That's right. That's a good point.
So, good stuff. Howard, thank you so much. We are about out of time here, aren't we? Yes. Yes, we are out of time. Thank you so
always
much for stopping
guys.
By. We really appreciate it.
Happy holidays.
The great Howard Richards joining us on the Press Box. Before we get out of here, quick word about Beck Shoe Polishers. If you remember what your dad may have had in his closet, he had one of those Beck shoe polishers with the red and with the black, and you put your shoes underneath them, and they come out like they're brand new. Any listeners in the hospitality industry, Beck shoe polishers are a great amenity. They also provide a tremendous savings when it comes to reducing or eliminating towel and sheet waste. Beck shoe polishers are available with chrome, brass, black powder coat finishes, replacement buffer available at BeckShoeProducts.com. It's the gift that your parents or yourself or maybe your kids or maybe a restaurant would absolutely love to have. BeckShoeProducts.com. And what do we have coming up in the coveted hour?
We've got Andy Strickland coming right down the road from the rink. Probably just talked to his buddy Coach Hitch, Blues Oilers. We'll have some hockey talk. Chuck is here. It's the coveted hour. Midday Grind live today. Maggie O'Brien's Union Station is next to them.